Stage Dramas presents The Buried Goddess. The ancient continent of Africa carries in her dark heart many mysteries. As the sands of the Great Sahara cover ruins of civilization long dead and lost, so the jungles cover with their green shields other strange secrets. No man is better able to tell of them than Brian O'Brien, soldier, explorer, and adventurer. What he saw and heard in the tents of traders, the prowls of savage chieftains, he tells to the millions of readers of the American Weekly. Strange tales of Africa, never before told, are yours in the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you at no extra cost with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. This week's front page drama brings you one of Brian O'Brien's strange tales, The Buried Goddess, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. And now for Mr. O'Brien's story.
A camel caravan plodded slowly over the arid waste of the South Sahara Desert on the ancient route from Wadi Halfa to Lake Chad. Finally reached the great market at Kano, capital of northern Nigeria, where Hausa traders buy the goods they peddle all over the forest region of the West African coast. One lean trader bought a string of curious beads from a camel man. He paid 10 pennies for them, tucked them in his pack, and left. A year later, he stalked into a compound in southern Nigeria, and sighting a white man sitting on the veranda of a house, he began to try his wares. The white man strolled over as the trader shouted,
"Fine cano cloth, the curry. Good leopard skins, ostrich signs, leather cushions, lame chakoto. Good beads, Maturi. Fine beads for white Maturi to wear. Fine beads,
Maturi." Hey, let me see those beads. Huh? Never mind the other things, just the beads. Where'd you get these?
I bought them in Kano, Maturi. 10 shillings, I paid. I sell you for 12 shillings.
12 shillings? I do? Yeah. Huh? 12 shillings. Yep, the beads are all I want. Get along now.
Miss Price, I could have asked a
few of you are, Hauser. Wait a minute. Come here, I say. Come here.
But sorry, I told you, fella, you pay pricey. I give you back 2 shillings.
It's all right, you ass. I don't want my money back. Tell me where they came from, and I'll give you 5 shillings for yourself.
Oh, Zella, excuse me, but surely I bought them in the Kano market from an Asturi in the caravan. He said he found them in the desert.
Confound it. Where in the desert?
Wait, but surely. Wait a minute. Unless I make a mistake. Yeah, he told me he found the beads in the sand near the oasis of Atlan. 10 days' journey from now, eh?
Righto. Here's your 5 cents.
Oh, well, Baturi. May you have fat wives and many children. Send me, Baturi.
I say, Ford, what the devil is going on out here? Just a bit of trading, old chap. Look here, Harris. You're a bug on archaeology. What do you make of this little trinket? I just bought it from that trader. What's it made of?
Lapis, or turquoise. And I say, it's this pendant that jolly well gets me. Do you know what it is?
It's like a fish. Must be pretty old.
Old? It's as ancient as Africa. That fish is the symbol of the Phoenician goddess, Tanis. Where did you say it came from?
Well, the trader said he got it from a camel man who found it in the sand somewhere near the oasis of Asgard.
Asgard, huh? Why, that's the South Arabian corruption of the Phoenician Astarte, or Astaroth, goddess of fertility. Known as the fish goddess.
Oh,
I say, old chap. Have you ever heard of the lost city of Asterisk between the Niger and the Nile?
Oh, yes, of course. I thought it was just fabulous yarn.
No, no, it's more than that. The legend runs that it was built by Carthaginians who escaped before their city was destroyed by the Romans some 146 years before Christ. They carried the statue of their goddess, Asterisk, away with them, built a temple for her, and a city around the temple. The point is, though, there are some queer stories about this oasis of Asterisk. It's sort of off the caravan track, and the camel men shun it, except when it's life or death to get water there.
And you think that these beads...
It's accurate, all right. Yes, indeed. Each bead bears one of her holy names. I can half read two or three of them. Maybe she's getting lonely. Asterisk, I mean. Maybe she threw this out of
space. Hey, Harris, you're either mad or joking.
Neither. When I run these beads through my fingers, I feel, well, sort of a queer pull.
Here, try it. What? Why, well, there is a strange power. Look here, Harris, old man. I'm due for a holiday, and I was going to Paris, but now...
Righto. Then it's Asloff for both of us. But we may never get back.
Righto.
2 months later, Harris and Forbes started out on a great adventure to find the lost city and temple of the buried goddess, Asteria. As their great camel caravan neared its destination, they were talking to the tall, lean, Nubian camel master.
I am from the Bahami country. Many times have I followed this road. Fights have I seen. Great fights with the veiled ones of Horek, forsaken men of God. I've seen men and camels buried in the sandstorm. I've killed my camel to get the small water that was in him. Many tales do I know of this world.
And they say that once men lived in the desert.
Only the Toregs of veiled ones. They who eat carrion and suck their blood for water.
No. I speak of ancient men.
I've heard of the ancient ones who lived here when the desert was not desert. What does the Effendi who are young and alive want with the dead?
Now, you see, Kerry, it is the fashion of the English to learn of the ancient ones in their time.
Yes, Kerry.
Now, what did you hear of the old ones?
There be parts of this road where men dare not pass by at night.
Uh-huh. And what do you know of Atla?
The Effendi must not stay there.
I see. How far is it?
8 kilometers. We will not camp there. We take water enough to pass far from that accursed spot with all speed.
Oh, have you been there?
Once. There are rocks and palms and barren figs beside water. And the vulture sits in trees. For years that creature just sits. Has no food to eat. Yet it lives, for it is a gin, a devil bird.
That all you fear, a bird?
There are other things. Sounds in the night that are screams of devils. But I'll say no more. Here, friend, you see. Here's a map of roads with your first hot.
Good night, and many thanks to you.
Same here. Good night.
Yes.
Yes, we'd better turn in, too. I'm pretty well tuckered up.
Oh, I won't have to be rocked to sleep either.
Slowly, the camp settled to sleep. The two white men, tired from their long journey, slept heavily. And when they awakened in the brisk desert dawn, they were alone. All the other Arabs, Nubians, including Parrish, had gone with their camels. The two personal camels of Harris and Forbes and their equipment remained. And so, plodding onward, following the crude map that Parrish, the camel master, had given them, they finally reached the oasis of Asta. There were the rocks and a stream of water collected in a small pool. Some palms overshadowed a ruined building, and over all was a boding silence, suddenly broken by...
Hey, what the devil was that?
The vulture Carice told us about.
Oh,
there he is, perched up in that tree.
Yes. This is the place, all right.
We'll start tomorrow, bright and early.
Which way do we start?
The north.
Why the north?
I don't know. It just seems to be the right direction somehow.
You know, it's funny, I feel the same way.
According to all available information, there's a lake about 5 miles from here. It's dried up now, of course. But I suppose that the springs of this oasis once fed it. There should be traces of seas and a sort of island in the middle. We'll search for that tomorrow.
What the devil is that?
Well, let's investigate outside the tent here.
Listen.
Sounds like someone having a nightmare. I'm sound at Forbes. It unnerves me.
Yeah. Okay, I don't mind telling you. I'm a bit scared myself.
No, you'd better tie up the camels. We don't want them to stampede.
Good Lord, Harry. You sound human almost.
Yes.
Like a woman.
10,000 mad women.
Yes, and yet there's a certain weakness to it also, like someone calling.
Yes,
instantly alone calling.
Maybe it's a body.
After the weird night and very little sleep, Forbes and Harris packed up, watered the camels, and started north to find the dried-up bed of the lake and the island in the middle. They climbed sliding cliffs of sand, slid down treacherous slopes, working their way north. Then when they had climbed another high ridge, they looked down into a huge, saucer-like depression in the sand. There was a wide area of flat sand gleaming like salt crystal. In the middle stood a big, cone-shaped hill.
Well, here's the lake, and there's the island in the middle.
Good Lord.
That sound again.
Oh,
I say,
what?
It's only the wind that makes that sound.
What?
Yes, of course. These are singing sands like those of the Gobi Desert.
Oh, sure.
When the wind blows, the grains of sand rub together and make the sounds. It's very simple. This saucer-shaped depression and the cone-shaped hill here in the middle create the squeaking as the action of the wind revolves around them.
Well, it is so, but you can have your science. I still feel like Terry.
Don't worry. Our goddess is here, and she'll look after us. See? She knows we're coming to her. And look. There, between those two great boulders, the wind sucks all the sand away. There's a passageway. Get picks and shovels while I investigate.
Right, Al. Looks as though we're in luck.
Hurry, old man. There's only one big boulder blocking this entrance. Bring two shovels and we can lever it out, roll it down the hill.
Right, Al, I'm coming. Bring me a couple of big flashlights, too.
There you are, old chap. Oh, good. Now, let's see. Take it over on that side and work from behind. Mm-hmm. Put the shovel well under the bottom of the boulder and we'll lift it up. And at the same time, push the rock forward. What do you say?
Right.
Both together, ready?
All ready now.
All right, one, two,
three, eight. He's giving. Keep it going.
Well,
he's rolling.
Push away now.
There you go. There you go.
Ah, there we are. Hey, there's an opening, all right. Very narrow. Look. There's a tiled wall in a polished stone walk. Can you see it through?
I'll try it.
If you can just make it. Follow me. Light the flashlight.
Yes. You follow him?
Yes. This passage opens to a big square chamber. See, it's lined with big clay urns. They all bear such impressive symbols.
Yes. I'll break one open with my pick and see what's in it. Filled with ashes and calcined bones. By Jove, what's this?
Harry, look what I found. A ruby. A ruby as big as the bowl of a tablespoon, cut in the shape of a fish.
Tom. Yes, Tom, here's the door. Bring your pick and help me open it.
But look, Harris, look.
He's here.
He's here.
What? We must be quick. He says he'll help. We must be quick.
I say, old chap, calm down. You're acting mad, quite mad.
Hurry, hurry. She wants us.
You mean she wants us?
It's giving. Stand back, I'll open it.
Look, she's there.
Thank you.
Yes. Beautiful. Yes, it's unmarred by the passing century. She's a single star. Yes, it's a great goddess.
What's that in her own? Why, it's the mummified body of a man.
It's better. I must go to her.
Go to her.
Harris.
Go to her.
Harris, come back.
Harris! Harris!
Stirred, it may be, or shaken by the works of the pick, the mummified body slipped out of the arm of the goddess, and as Harris ran towards her, she seemed to lean forward and embrace him. Then came the deafening roar and a blinding, smothering curtain of sand. Somehow, Forbes struggled through that blanket of death, out into the open. He stumbled forward and found a great sandstorm blowing. One camel was left, and he managed to survive. A camel patrol out of Fort Lamy picked him up. He told me the true tale, and showed me the ruby he found. He would never part with it, and he said he was afraid to sell it. He's dead now, which is why I can tell the story.
You have just heard The Buried Goddess, one of the weird, fascinating, but true life stories of darkest Africa by the famous soldier, explorer, and author, Brian O'Brien. This series is running concurrently in the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you every week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Page Dramas presents The Golden Mouse. This week's Front Page Drama, The Golden Mouse, is a radio dramatization of another of the weird, amazing, but true life stories of darkest Africa as told by Brian O'Brien, soldier, explorer, and adventurer. No other series of stories ever to appear in the American Weekly have caused such nationwide